Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson. We are looking into creation, so it's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We're continuing on a series of teachings, and we are going into the time when God created the earth in Job chapter 38. And God asked Job, where were you? And he asked his friends, I guess also, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who has laid the measures thereof, if you knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So we found out in a prior teaching that the morning stars sang, and we found out also the mystery of the seven stars in the last part of chapter 1 of Revelation. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. Angels are the same as stars in the scriptures. And we read some scriptures on the sons of God. We found that they are people, where a place where it was said, you are not my people, there you will be called the sons of God. We also found out that sons of God in Genesis 6 could marry the daughters of men. So they are the same type and the same species. And we've been reading in Romans chapter 8. And let me start there again. Now, I wanted to mention to you, I don't remember if I got into this in the last tape, but Son of God in the Old Testament is Ben Elohim. Ben is, well, like Ben-Hur, the son of Hur. You've seen the movie Ben-Hur, and Ben simply means son. And in the New Testament, it is Uias, ton theon, son of God. Uias is son or child. Ben is son or child. And so when the morning stars sang together, you could say the angels sang and the sons of God shouted for joy. Can angels sing? Most certainly. Can sons of God or people shout for joy? Absolutely. So what is the difference between, it says the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair and they took them wives. So they are able to bear children, so they have to be the same species. But what is the difference between a person and a son of God? Well, in Romans chapter 8, 14, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. So a person who is led by the Spirit of God, he is a son of God. A person who is not led by the Spirit of God is still a person. So a son of God is still a person, but because he is led by the Spirit of God, he is God's son. A person who does not have the Holy Spirit has a big void inside of his life, and he needs the Spirit of God to lead him, to be adopted. So let's start again, Romans 8, 14 to 19. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So you go from being a person to being adopted a son of God. You could be adopted into a family. Let's say it's a Smith family, and all of a sudden you take on the last name Smith. Well, you get adopted by God, and you take on the last name God. Your first name is Son. Your middle name is Of. Well, I just made that up. But it's true. Seriously, it's true. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Wow. Joint heirs with Christ. We have been adopted in the family as a joint heir. What is mine is yours, and what is yours is mine. Boy, think about that. I have nothing to bring to the table. Jesus has all. Think about that one, where he shares all his wealth with his children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the children or the sons of God. All creation is waiting to see what we are going to be like when we are changed into Christ's image, who is in God's image. Let's see. Now, the next place we wanted to read was Philippians 2:15, and that says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So a son of God is going to be different. They're going to have light in their camp, and the men of the world, the people without the Holy Spirit, are going to be in darkness. Remember that in Egypt that happened. And let's see, the next place we want to read is 1 John 3:1-2 in our search of Son of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We don't know exactly what we're going to be like, but when we see Jesus, we are going to be changed into his expressed image and into his likeness. Now I'm going to try to find Hebrews. Here it is. And in Hebrews, so when we see him, we don't know what it's going to be like. It says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And we haven't seen it all, but we do know. I'm going to read 1 John again, then I'm going to read what Jesus is like. Let me read this again. Let me refresh your mind. 1 John 3:1-2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, that's Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, let me read this scripture about Jesus. We are going to be exactly like Jesus when we see him. Listen to this. This is Hebrews 1:1-4. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners or in different ways spake in times past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Again, it's showing that Jesus is the creator. That's three scriptures that are absolute proof that Jesus is the creator. Who being, speaking of Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory, Jesus is the brightness of God's glory, and the expressed image of his person. He's exactly like his dad. You ever seen somebody say, boy, you're your dad's son, or you're your mother's daughter, exactly like mother, like daughter? In some cases, maybe it's not so good, and we hope in your cases, if you're like your mom and dad, it's good. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. He's the expressed image of God's person, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Do you know that sons of God appear to have more authority than angels? But that's a whole nother subject, and that's a place to tread real lightly, my friend, because we're going to get into some of the things. One thing, you want to be careful with angels. You want to listen to them when God sends them, because they cannot repent. And if they're sent to do a job, a person can actually lose their life by not obeying an angel sent from God the Most High. But it appears if we are joint heirs with Christ, and Christ is so much better than the angels, if you just put two and two together there, this is what I think we can read out of this. But that's as far as we see it today. So as we keep searching the scriptures, we'll see these things more and more clearly as we keep reading. Jesus is exactly like his dad. In every way, he is the Logos, the image, the perfect image of the Most High God. And here's another name for God, the Most High God, God the Father. Now, we know some names for Jesus, Prince of Peace, and so on. We know some names for Melchizedek, or the Holy Spirit, King of Peace, King of Righteousness, King of Salem, Melchizedek. He's called the Eternal Spirit. But here's another name for God. We know God is called God Most High. He's called God the Father. And he is called the Majesty on High. Woo. Well, that's a good one. We should reverence and respect God's names. And because they're wonderful, they are majestic, just like God is. I've got a few little things here that I could bring up. Let's see what time we have left. We went through Ben Elohim, sons of God. It's the same as today, Uyas Tantheon, sons of God, it's people. And, we want to mention this. Where were you when God created the heavens and the earth? The angels sang, and people who happened to have the Holy Spirit in them because they were sons of God, they shouted for joy. Now, why did they shout for joy? Well, have you ever had a house built? And when you see that house built, how many of you, when you get a brand new house and it's being built, you're there every day on the site and you're imagining, that's going to be my bedroom. That's going to be my den. Ooh, that's going to be my big garage. And that's going to be where the bathtub is and the shower. And that's going to be, I love the way the kitchen's going to be laid out and so on. And you have all these dreams and you go visit that house every day. You watch the studs go up and the roof, and all of a sudden it starts taking shape and it just gets more and more exciting. Well, let's say you go to the house and you go on a trip and you come back and the contractor says, well, I'm all done. And you go to the building site. And you go to turn on the lights, and the lights don't light, and the plumbing doesn't plumb, the water doesn't water, and nothing works, and it's dark, and it's void. And what would you think about that contractor? Well, there is an interesting thing. We're going to get into the fun part now, because In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that word is bara. He made the heavens and the earth from nothing. God said in the book of Isaiah, it would be Isaiah 45:18, that he made the earth perfect, and he made it to be inhabited. He did not make it, with this expression in the Hebrew, he did not make the earth tohu vabohu. He did not make it waste and wild. He made it perfect, and he made it to be inhabited. You get a contractor to build a house, you expect that house to be perfect? Well, as best as can be in today's world. But with God, you would expect perfect, and to be inhabited. So there is something wrong with the translation. Well, if you know Hebrew like this Jewish man that we knew years ago, he happened to know that there was something in the middle, and that word was, and it's translated two times as was and 67 times as had become. And it's the Hebrew word haya, and it's in the qual perfect time or tense or part of speech. And anyway, this is the way normally the word haya is translated. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth had become formless and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Something bad happened. It was created perfect. It was not created tohu vabohu, but when God's Spirit visited the earth, it had become tohu vabohu. It had become waste and wild, and that is exactly the same expression. He did not create it in the beginning to be tohu vabohu. It became tohu vabohu. So there is a gap. There is a huge gap. It could be 10,000 years. It could be 100,000 years between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Now, I've got another surprise for you. I happened to go back and look every time I could find the word. I bought a Hebrew interlinear that I could read, and I went through it by hand, and I looked at all the places that I could find the word, the Hebrew word haya, in exactly the same part of speech, the qual perfect. And so I found 55 of those 67 times as had become. I think I've found 55 so far. Did you know that one of the times, actually the translation is fell? Now, let's slip fell in there just as well as was, and let's just look at it with an open mind. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and according to Isaiah 45:18, he did not create it in vain. He created it perfect and to be inhabited. He did not create it tohu vabohu. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth fell and was tohu vabohu. You can slip that word in too, and it makes as much sense. Or the earth had become formless and void, and darkness was on the surface of the deep. Reason with the scriptures. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Why would God be creating a dark, uninhabitable world? And there's more evidence to this, believe me. We are just beginning to get into it. So there are some people, and Jewish people especially, who know the Hebrew, they know that there's a gap in there, or some of them do. Anyway, there is a scripture someplace in the Bible that says, "You have been our God for 1,000 generations." And if you say 20 years is an average generation now, it was actually over 100 years in Adam's time. Let's say the earth is at least somewhere between 20 to 100,000 years old. Well, also in the King James Version Bible, when most of the earth was killed off, what was Noah told to do? Replenish the earth. There were eight left, and he was to refill the earth, replenish it with the same like and kind that was here before. What was Adam told to do? In the King James Version Bible, he was told to go and replenish the earth. Now, why would God say that if there were not people here before Adam and Eve? There very likely were people here before Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve were told to replenish the earth with the same like and kind, exactly the same word in Hebrew as Noah was told to replenish the earth. But that's not the end of the story. So God created the earth perfect and to be inhabited. If I have a few minutes, I want to go, and we're going to start there again on the next tape and go into this, the creation of the earth in more detail. And we're going to get into the words creation and so on. One thing we know about angels in Psalms 103:20, you can look it up. Bless the Lord, all his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, that hearken to the voice of his word. So here's some evidence of what angels do. They excel in strength. They do God's commandments. They hearken to the voice of his word. And then in Psalms 103:21, bless the Lord, all his hosts, because they are ministers of his, and they do God's pleasure. And in Psalms 104:4, it says, he makes his angels spirits. So those are some evidences of the angels of God and what they do, and they are important. Now, off the top of my head, I can think of some of the names of angels that God talks about in the Bible, and probably the one that's the most familiar to people is Gabriel that visited Mary and visited John the Baptist's mom and dad, and that's Gabriel. And then there is Michael, who is known as the archangel. He's the only one mentioned in the Bible who is an archangel. The rest is guesswork by men. And let's see if there's another angel I can think of. Is there a good angel? Let's see. Apollyon is a bad angel. Abaddon or Apollyon listed in the book of Revelation. So there's three. Then there's another creation, and we're going to get into Satan after the creation of the material universe. And it says in the Bible that Jesus saw him fall like an angel, or he can disguise himself like an angel. It does not say he is an angel. He is another creation, and we're going to get into that. And his name before the fall was Lucifer. So of the heavenly host, there's Lucifer, but we're not calling him an angel. There is Michael, there's Gabriel, there's the Apollyon, and Abaddon, which means destruction in Greek. And I don't know if that's Hebrew or what. So we know their names. Now, let me get into heavenly host, why I have a little bit of opportunity here, because we've gotten into creation of heavenly host. There are cherubim. Now, I was challenged by a friend of mine, and she said, Gilbert, I looked at all the places that angels were listed, and I've never seen where they had wings. Now, so I'm just going to leave it at that. Maybe you all know. I'm going to give you a challenge. Why don't you call me up and tell me what your research shows, but don't quote a person what they say about it. Please tell me the scripture. We'll use the scripture only as base. So please tell me the scripture. If it does say where angels have wings, please let me know. I have not looked it up, so I'm believing them, but of course, we probably need to look at this just a little bit more. Next time we get together, we are going to dive into the next section, which is the creation of the material universe, the heavens and the earth, and so on. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.